Our opening scripture comes from Psalm 71, verses 17 and 18. And before I read it, Angie pulls it up on the board, so perhaps you can see it. I have it in the NIV today. But back on Friday, sometimes I listen to a radio program that talks about certain events that happen on certain days going back in history. And I heard that Friday, June 11th, marked the day Alexander the Great died on June 11th, 323 BC. And some interesting things about him, because I already knew what the scripture was going to be for this morning. And I got to thinking about Alexander the Great and the empire that he built compared to the person we're going to talk about. Alexander of Macedonia, little bit of his birthday and the years that he reigned, commonly known as Alexander the Great, was a king of the ancient Greek kingdom of Macedonia, a member of the Argead dynasty. He was born in Pella, a city in ancient Greece, in 356 BC. He succeeded his father, King Philip II, to the throne at the age of 20 and spent most of his ruling. He had history's greatest military minds, who was king of Macedonia and Persia, established the largest empire the ancient world had ever seen. And when we come to our opening scripture, it's going to be about David in David's kingdom from the scriptures. But even this king, as famous as he was, and all that he had accomplished, one day came to the day when he was no more. And his focus was all about building his kingdom and building a legacy and a name after himself. And the grave ate it up along with him. And he was no more. Now, I know a lot of us probably have read many of the Psalms. It's not known by biblical historians exactly the years that Psalms were written, but we know that David wrote many of them. So, Psalm 71, verses 17 and 18, David, the son of Jesse. Now, we've had Jesse here, the grandson of David. But it was just an interesting way how Jesse came into our lives. But David was definitely not the pick of the litter to become king in his father's eyes. He watched after his father's sheep. But yet, he was the one that was anointed to be one of the greatest leaders in Israel of his time. And so David writes this: "Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come." And if you read a lot of other scriptures that David wrote, this shows you his priorities about since his youth, since he was a young boy. I mean, God picked him at the age of 20. Basically, he was 19 or 20. "You have taught me." I don't know if Alexander the Great ever expressed that, but David did. And that David gave credit to whatever he knew spiritually and biblically, that it was the Lord who taught him. And it said, "Until this day," up to the point of this day that my words are spoken, and now, of course, we have the record of his words. I don't know if he realized that one day his words would be in the Bible, because there wasn't one at the time he spoke them. "And to this day I declare your marvelous deeds." David often talked about when the day would come when he would grow old. And he expressed some concerns in other places, that "even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, my God." And so I, all these years, assumed that David became very old, very elderly, because he talked about growing old. And his concern was that the Lord would forsake him or leave him and not pay any attention to him anymore. Do not forsake me. That he would be left by the Lord. But he spent his time declaring the marvelous deeds that he witnessed the Lord do. And to us, I gleaned a lot out of that. As we also grow older, will our priorities remain the same? Will that be the same for us? I know the day may come when I can't travel anymore like I can today. And what will I spend my time doing then? What will I talk about? What will I share with this next generation that we're encountering now? These are important questions to consider as some of us are getting gray hair. And some of you dyed it red, we won't know. But the fact of the matter is, God said he would never leave us nor forsake us, and that he will use us as long as we're willing to be used. And you always have your testimony to share with those who are walking in your footsteps, those who are walking in your shadow. You still have influence. You still have an effect on people. You still have a purpose. And God does not forsake you. But David didn't understand some things about the Holy Spirit. You see, in the Old Covenant, the Holy Spirit has always been from creation. But he didn't indwell a person. He would anoint. The Lord would anoint a person with the Holy Spirit to empower them for service, to serve the Lord. And I want to read some more of this. Do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, telling people how great and mighty the Lord is. Because as each generation comes along, there seems to be a segment of each generation that, for whatever reason, God gets blamed for everything, so why would I want to serve him? Or just generally a godless attitude and a society that follows, where in some places it's illegal to believe in God or believe in any God. So David wanted to spend his rest of his life, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Those that would come after David. And see, he, even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, until I declare your power to the next generation. He wanted to make sure and assure those who came after him would have the same knowledge that he did, that they would seek their wisdom and their knowledge from the same God who gave David all that he knew. Psalm 71:9, do not cast me away when I'm old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. You know, a lot of people feel that way too. As we age, it's not difficult to find people who have come to that place in their lives where they don't feel effective anymore. They don't think that they amount to anything anymore. They think they've lost their witness. They think that they're helpless to do anything anymore. And even when their strength is gone, and we've all watched many people that we know, many were our relatives or friends as they age, it seems like they gave up on life and just waited for that day that they would go home. And it's really sad to watch that happen, because David did not want it to happen, and he was determined that however many days he had, that he was going to spend his time telling the next generation about the goodness of the Lord, about the strength of the Lord, about the promises of the Lord. And that's a good word for us too, that there may come a day when we can't do physically the things that we had always done. But it doesn't mean we're helpless. It doesn't mean we're useless. It doesn't mean that God's forsaken us. It doesn't mean that God's abandoned us. Think of the wisdom that you've gained over the years. Think of the treasures of the Lord that you have to pass on to the next generation, our children, our grandchildren. We still have the capacity to have an influence in people's lives. Your life is still relevant. And I think that's a real key, because sometimes people think that their life isn't important anymore. It's not relevant anymore. People turn away from the elderly and abandon them sometimes because they don't know how to communicate with them. So another scripture, here's another one from David, Psalm 51, and he wrote these words, and it's been written into a song. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. These are very interesting about David's character. And I have a lot of other interesting things about David, but I wrote them down, but they're not particularly relevant to the opening scripture. They're about his character. They're about personal things in his life. But the surprise of all surprises, I found out after all these years that David died at the age of 71. And yet he ruled in his kingdom for 40 years. That's a pretty good piece of time. And a lot of changes, a lot of sorrow happened in his life as well. And some of the things I wrote down that he testified before King Saul. David testified before King Saul that while tending his father's sheep, a lion had taken one of the sheep, and David killed the lion to rescue the sheep from the lion's mouth. He said he had also killed a bear, which was also present at the same time. And this was because Saul wanted to give David all of this cumbersome heavy armor to go out and fight Goliath. And David says, "Nope, I'm good. God will take care of that." And in his youth, can you imagine David is elderly looking back on his life and the things that he witnessed before that age? It's from a young man. And we have memories of the things that we've done as well. I suggest keeping journals. I could never remember all the things that I bore witness that I saw the Lord do on all those missions trips. You might remember a few, but I journaled every single one of them, every account, every person prayed for. And to some people, it became a boring book because that's all it talked about. But that's my witness. That's my testimony. And this is David's testimony. But he talked about the Holy Spirit. This was interesting. Don't cast me away, Lord, when I'm old. He didn't know that God wouldn't do that. But, you know, that was the knowledge that he had. That was his perception. And also, or take your Holy Spirit from me. The Holy Spirit indwells us now as believers, but in the Old Covenant, the Holy Spirit would anoint a person, and when their purpose in life was served, the anointing in the Spirit would leave, and God would anoint others to carry on. So David had a legitimate concern. He attributed all the strength, all the miracles, all the power that he had, he attributed it to the Holy Spirit, whom God assigned to him, if you will, to enable him to be an effective king for 40 years. And the thing with Bathsheba, I'll tell you, if I was up on my roof and some beautiful, foxy, naked lady was out there taking a bath, I'm sure I'd look too. But he went beyond looking. And he knew the power of forgiveness, and God forgave him, and he went on with the call of God on his life. But also David paid a price. If you read what happened in the next two generations after David, David suffered a severe loss through others that was in his family that came after him. Even his son Absalom turned against him and got half of David's army to plot against him, and Absalom got caught in a tree, and one of David's soldiers came and ran a spear through him and killed him. David suffered a lot of hardship. He was hiding in a cave and fleeing for his life. He had a lot of life to give. And so when he's coming to his old age, I was shocked to find out he died at 71. I got 4 years on him. How many of you have more than that? You know? And so it kind of made me really think about, what are we going to spend the rest of our lives doing? you know, you have a heart to carry on and continue to be involved in all that you still know how to do. And I'm talking to you, Simone, about what will you do if you can't go to the Philippines anymore? Maybe not because of you, but of other circumstances. What will you do with your knowledge? What will you do with your skills? Do you have others that you can mentor to teach about the Lord? And you always give praise to God for all that He's done in your life. And then I know you well enough and long enough that you're not just going to sit idly by and say, oh, well, that's life. And quicker it gets over, the better. I'm done now. And this is a challenge to all of us as we age, to continue to live, continue to be a witness, continue to be a light bearer, continue to be those who give testimonies of all the wonderful things you've seen and experienced the Lord do, because we're God's mouthpiece. We speak for Him. A lot of people that aren't saved aren't going to pick up a Bible and find these truths. They're going to hear it the God-given way. It's going to be mouth to mouth, person to person, bearing witness of God. We are His witnesses. We're those who give testimonies. And so don't be discouraged as the years go by. I'm not. I feel like I'm at the peak of my life. It's never been, I don't know, something has happened since we got saved that really inspired me and gave me hope and promise. And every day is not always the same. We all together, we deal with stuff. But in the end, we don't give up on our faith. We don't give up on God, because we know God doesn't forsake us and He doesn't give up on us. So let's use David as a pattern. Alexander the Great was great, but you know, even David was the seed that Jesus was born through in David's genealogy. There were 28 generations later, Jesus was born through the lineage of David. I don't know if David knew that at the time. I don't know how well, because he didn't have all the other scriptures at the time he lived. But you see, that was one of the greatest that made David's kingdom of much more significance than Alexander the Great. David never called himself great. He called God great. And it's God's kingdom that's the most important. And man should never name a kingdom after himself, because the day will come when he'll find out just how little he is in the sight of the Lord. So there's a little snapshot of David's life. I know someone very well, and Faith does too, who spent years studying David's life and knows it far greater than I do. But somehow this thing came to me during that story about Alexander, and I had this first scripture about David, but it didn't take long to find out some very interesting things about him from his writings. But it also revealed his knowledge of the Holy Spirit too, because a lot of times we don't think about the Holy Spirit being very powerful and present in the Old Testament too, but He is, and He was. And He still is. He's the same Holy Spirit. So hopefully, as you age gracefully along with me, we never lose our edge. We never lose our witness. We never lose our testimonies. And life is worth the living until we take our last breath. And don't give up. Never give up. Be like Winston Churchill. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Press on and press in. It's His life in us that we allow Him to live through us. We should be porous. Not, oh, poor me. Not that sense, but porous, meaning that which is inside the container is allowed to pass through the container and be seen by others. And we're the container of His Spirit. That's porous. But it's also, I think of the person, well, he's the Lord, but He has the most patience of all, because He knows how we're going to turn out. And He has the end game in mind. And we as well need to have the patience to let Him do the work in us that He is on a daily basis. a lot of things that we can't change. But if we're willing to let Him, He'll make the changes, and they'll always be the right changes. We can fix stuff in the flesh, but that's about the depth of it. So last week we looked at First Peter chapter 5 and verse 9, but today I'd like to look at Psalm 23. Now remember that patience, biblical patience, means steadfastness and endurance. The ability to walk and be persistent and be firm in an ongoing process. The ability to endure without murmuring and complaining. So I want to go to Psalm 23, and my gosh, I know that you all could just read that very nicely. But there's a nifty little part of Psalm 23 that expresses patience. Psalm 23, verse 4. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." I've had a lot of opportunities to share these verses doing memorial services for funerals and graveside services and things like that. But one of the things that really shows me the walk of patience, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley." A lot of times we're impatient and we don't see the end. We stop and we see how high the mountains are, how the obstacles confront us. We're looking at shadows and we've got our eyes off the prize, which is walking through. Through indicates that there's an appointed end. There's a goal. And in Peter's revelation, it's to come to that place in our lives where we will never fall. Another thing too is, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Shadow generally is a temporary thing. And the other thing about a shadow is you couldn't have a shadow if there wasn't also a source of light at the same time. And so sometimes people can be very impatient and be overcome by their own fears, their own shadows, their own walk, because we're not where we think we should be in all the years we've been saved or whatever. And we set such a high bar and come to find out that God already set the bar. And His name is Jesus. And so it's just wonderful to relax from the struggle and the strain and the work and let His work in us accomplish the very thing that we try so hard to do and fall short. But the shadow thing, it's really important to realize a lot of times that's all people see. There are people walking around us today, not here in this building, but their lives are in a shadow. There is such fear, such worry, such anxiety, such a restlessness, borderline anger. People are doing things totally out of control now on a wide scale that our generation hasn't seen in a really long time. Very short fuse, and not just an incident once in a while, but a way of life. And it's a control thing. We're out of control when we're at that point where we lash out, we do stupid stuff, like me sometimes. And then on a second later, I said, I can't believe I did that. And yet so quickly, it can happen. I will fear no evil, Psalm 23:4. That's very relevant in our time right now. There are people that are literally have become stagnant because of fear. They just can't seem to find their way forward. And I think of the COVID situation and our governor as hard a walk as he's trying to walk with a very socialist type government in place in our state. He's ready to undo his emergency order, the state of emergency, and there's 130 organizations in our state that don't want him to do that because they're so terrified to walk free again. They're afraid to take that step of what it's going to be like to be able to go anywhere you want again and not be in fear. So he's walking a fine line. I know we've always encouraged each other. He's walked in a very, those of you from New Hampshire, maybe not so much your governor, but in our state, we gave him a lot of grace in the beginning to see where all this stuff was going to go. But we together entered into this last year that we were going to walk by faith. We weren't going to run and hide. And we were going to just continue in our faith walk. And we kept meeting, and we kept meeting, and we kept meeting in all of our services, our Bible studies, the prayer group, and we never stopped. Because hopefully you are not people of fear, and your presence has shown that, your walk has shown that. But we've been patient too. We've walked a lot together over this last year, and we've been wanting to see the mask come off, if you will. And so now, as restrictions are being lifted, there are a lot of people that still drive around in their cars with their mask on. They're walking on the streets with their mask on. But Christians don't need to wear a mask. We got to just let people know who we are. We are people of faith. And I don't mean to just make light of that. But it's just a fact. There's a difference in having the patience to just, well, we'll see what happens next week. And the week after, and the week after. And now it's more than a year later. And nobody lost it in here during that time. Every time I get close to something, I'm getting a feedback. Is it there? Is it over here? I don't know. Don't want to get off track with a little sound. But we're not afraid. And it takes patience to recognize that our comfort comes from the rod and the staff. That's the word and the spirit. I don't know if you ever applied that. A shepherd has a staff and a rod to, like over there on that picture of the shepherd reaching down to rescue that sheep that fell off a cliff. Well, that's where he uses his staff, the crook in the staff, to snatch the sheep or the lamb from coyotes in Vermont. Usually they catch the sheep and you find the sheep, what's left of it, in the pasture. But those were very valuable in the hands of a shepherd. But spiritually, it's the rod, it's the word and the spirit that comfort us so that we don't have to get into fear. And there's a trust that Christians have that a lot of people don't have because they've trusted before and their trust has been in people and they've been hurt, they've been let down, and God has been blamed for things that he had nothing to do with. And so they don't have trust, they have no comfort, and they're tormented day and night. But to the saved, for us, patience in God's promises is always a sure place to release it. And patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, those are evidence of God's indwelling presence. Each one of them is unique that we have. Psalm 34, 17 through 19. It takes patience after you've prayed to realize that everything we ask the Lord for is not instant. Some things are. But I'm reminded of how there's also a spiritual realm that takes place between angels and demons, and is a battle that's set up in the heavenly realm that's going on for your answer to come sometimes from the Lord. And we sometimes forget about all the spiritual things that are happening behind the scenes that we don't see. And so it takes patience to wait sometimes for those things. It doesn't mean they're not coming. It doesn't mean it's not a promise from the Lord. It just means it can get hung up. And sometimes we also, through our own actions or our own mouths, can undo a prayer. Just as quick as we prayed, we can undo it with our mouths and just kill it right there. So, but listen to this. The righteous cry unto the, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of three of their troubles. Oh, it's got to be all. It says so up there. Okay. Gosh, that's right. Boy, Andrew, you've done a good one today. You're on the money. That's so true. He delivers us out of all of our troubles. You know, he doesn't rid the world of trouble, because we're in this world and it's filled with trouble all around us. But when we let the trouble get down on the inside of us and we call out to the Lord to deliver us, that's when we're delivered from trouble, because we open the door and let troubles come in. It doesn't mean it's not around us. It's like we've got to learn to be better gatekeepers and not let stuff get inside of us, because that's when impatience comes in, and that's when restlessness and other of their little friends to try to influence us and move us off our faith walk. The Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as of a contrite spirit. Broken of our own will. You know, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, there was a flesh part of him that did not want anything to do with the cross. But his spirit man knew that this was the Father's will. And that's why for three times he asked the Lord, if there's any other way than this, I'm all for it. But when he established that this was God's will for his life, then he became willing and he died to his own will. And sometimes it's hard to come to that place when we each have a will and there are things that we want to do. They're not necessarily bad things, but we have to settle it too, that when we know God's will, there's sometimes when we have to have patience with ourselves to let his will be worked into us. If you're like homeowners sometimes, and a contractor comes to you and says, when do you want this work done? You'd say, yesterday. Because otherwise, why did you call him if you had no need at that time? But the attitude is, we've called upon our Maker, and when do you want the work done? We want it done yesterday. We don't want to walk the walking part. We just want everything instant, because that's the generation we live in. That's why I get so frustrated with my phone, like I told you last week. And it's not like a frisbee. There's nobody to catch it, and you can do massive electronic damage throwing one like a frisbee. I get frustrated with it because it does weird stuff. It calls people from my pocket. My sister called me from her pocketbook one day And she's driving her car, and I can hear the radio on in her car, and yet she called me. And this is really weird. And so patience with electronic products. I'm not really all there yet. And some of you that have mastered that, please teach me. I have a very teachable spirit. Painting, wallpapering, no problem. But a phone? Nope, not yet. Working on it. But many are the afflictions of the righteous. Oh my goodness. Do we really want to hear that today when everything's going so nice? No. Who said no? Am I the only one that said no? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So all that week with the air conditioning situation where you work, and you were ready to just pack up and walk out of there several times, more than once, but yet somehow you waited it out. And it was worth it because not only did you not lose your job, but you got the AC, so you ended up getting the best.
I kept thinking of different things that I could do, and I clearly heard the Lord say to me, you know, instead of trying to figure this out, why don't you just keep praying about it? Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. I prayed all evening, I prayed all morning, and I prayed another evening, and I prayed another morning, and that's what things changed. Mm-hmm. That's what it took.
Yes.
I had to keep praying in the Spirit.
See, that's where that endurance comes in. It's in it. It's in it for the long haul, that whatever you're waiting to see happen, whatever you've prayed and believed for, patience is given to us. See, we already have it. It's a matter of whether we use it or not, because it's inside of us. It's like all the other fruit of the Spirit. They're the characteristics of the Holy Spirit in control of our lives. It's that's what comes out. His love, His kindness, His goodness, His faithfulness, His patience. And it takes patience to deal with a lot of things that are in our faces all the time. But to not let them knock us off course, and to not get discouraged, but to be encouraged. It's a process, and it can be very unpleasant at times, and I'm surely not the only one in the room that's found that out. And then there are some times you can't even speak words to fix stuff. You just got to just zip it and wait on the Lord to work it out. Because if we're not in the right spirit, it's probably just as well to have a zipper right here. Right? Yeah. Because we can just get in a place that's not healthy. I'll probably stop there today. Because it's good to take this a little at a time and have the patience to get to the end of it. I have 7 more verses left. But I don't like to do them all at once, because it's good to meditate on, do a couple or something and meditate on those and think about them, pray about them if they touched you in any particular way. Because I'm really not in a hurry. And I hope that you're not either, except for lunch. That's okay, because we all can do that. But patient to come to the end of this, because it's one of those parts that the Holy Spirit gave Peter, so it has to have significance in our walk to come to that place where we will never fall. It's one of the key pieces that hold everything together. It's just that we'd like to see it happen sooner sometimes. Anybody have need of prayer that we didn't pray for earlier?